at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump has announced plans for a more aggressive space-based missile defense system to protect the U.S. from adversaries. He says many of the country's enemies are working hard to find ways of getting around current missile defenses. Florida's newest senator already speaking out about the government shutdown. It's Republican Senator Rick Scott now calling for congressional members' pay to be furloughed until the partial government shutdown comes to an end. Authorities say at least 9 people have been killed, more than 20 injured in a car bombing at a police academy in Colombia's capital city of Bogota. It's believed to be the work of leftist rebels from the National Liberation Army. They've been stepping up their attacks on police targets inside Colombia amid a standoff with the conservative president, Iván Duque, over how to restart stalled peace talks. Some fluctuations on Wall Street have the Dow down now by about 4 points, and NASDAQ still up by 12. More details at srnnews.com.
Plenty of sunshine today and no rain. Our high will be 68 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy. We're expecting a low of 45. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy but no rain. Warmer weather. The high tomorrow, 72 degrees.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm David Gray, filling in today for Brad Sykes. I understand Brad had to rearrange his sock drawer.
I had to do something. I think he's on the road right now with his son up to Nashville, and he was not able to be here today, and I am so glad that, Dave, you can fill in for him. David went to the Philippines with us this past summer and has been a SWAT guy for a long time now.
I have. I've been fortunate to be in that group, and I've been blessed by the teaching and all the community of guys that
we've been around. Used to do radio too, right?
Long time ago on the internet, I did some play-by-play for Nice High School baseball and football, and that was a lot of fun.
Now, were you a baseball player?
Played baseball.
What position?
Mostly the outfield, center field, right field.
Well, center field, you had to have some legs then.
Good
man.
Field, no hit.
Yeah? Well, I was a power hitter, so I usually, in the outfield, was relegated to left field or right field. Yep. Mostly right field, and then first base. But, yeah, it's good to have you in here today. And, you know, we have an incredible guest tomorrow. I just want to say, I'll say it throughout the show today, the program today. Tommy Nelson from Denton Bible Church is going to be our guest tomorrow. And he is also speaking next week at the Jacksonville Pastors Conference. And we would love for you to come join us there. Brad and I will be there at the Jacksonville Pastors Conference. A lot of people think it is for pastors only. No, you can go in. Now, if you want to participate in the whole conference, the lunches and all the breakouts and seminars and all that, there is a charge for that. But if you just want to go pop in to hear one of the speakers during a main session or one of the sessions, you can go to jackspastorsconference.com and get more information. It's got a schedule, the speakers that are going to be there, an incredible lineup of guys that, I mean, I've read a lot of these guys' books that they're very gifted and they love the Lord. Albert Moeller, Heath Lambert, who's obviously the pastor down at First Baptist, Jim Cimbala out of Brooklyn, Matt Carter from Austin, Texas, Erwin Lutzer from Chicago, Fred Luter, H.B. Charles from right here in Jacksonville, and then, like I said, Tommy Nelson. They got a whole host of guys that we'll be sharing, and it is really a good time to have the truth poured into you. You know, Dave, the truth, a lot of times, we want the truth from the word that we read, but we also should get truth from the word we hear. There's right. Just something sometimes about God working the truth through one of his servants who's proclaiming that truth that's been lived out in his life that that does something to you.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read something on my own in scripture, or maybe even read a commentary or a book about it, and then heard the same text taught on or preached on, and discovered that God taught me something completely new through the hearing.
Yeah, because that everybody looks at that truth, and that principally may be the same for everybody, but how that principle is applied in somebody's life may be different, and there may be a different application there. And so, hey, next week, the conference starts on the 24th. It runs from the 24th, I'm sorry, the 24th through the 27th, I believe. Is that right? Hold on just a second. Let me look at the schedule, because I thought it was the 24th. Yeah, it starts on a pre-conference on January 24th, and where they got Brian Croft coming in. But then the main conference also starts on Thursday. It'll be starting with 2:30 in the afternoon with Heath Lambert, and it'll run through 8 o'clock that night. And Erwin Lutzer and Jim Simba will be speaking on Thursday. Then Friday it will have Matt Carter, Steve Gaines, Tommy Nelson, who we'll have on tomorrow. So we will have Tommy Nelson tomorrow on as our guest, and would love to join you. Hey, we have a caller, and it's somebody near and dear to my heart. James, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Well, I can't pick y'all up.
You can't pick us up? Are you having a problem? Are we having a problem with the stream out there?
It ain't doing nothing.
All right. Well, I will get our production guy working on getting the stream up, okay, to make
Thank
sure
you.
It's up. Yes, sir. Thanks calling
James.
In and for letting us know. All right.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. So, apparently, sometimes our stream goes down. The airwaves still pick us up, but the stream goes down. But Tommy Nelson will be our guest tomorrow. Tommy's from Denton Bible Church. He did this incredible series called Song of Solomon, where he teaches through on marriage principles from Song of Solomon. Now, have you ever read Song of Solomon?
I have.
Did you understand it?
I had to be taught a lot about it.
It can be a little confusing if you're just reading it, but Tommy does an incredible job, and so we're looking forward to having him tomorrow. Hey, real quick news. I don't know if you've noticed there. Did you ever watch the cartoons of the cat and the dogs that fought? I can't remember the name. You know,
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry. Were they dog and cat, or was it a mouse and cat?
It was a mouse and cat.
It was a mouse
Correct.
And cat. Right. I think that's what we're seeing with Pelosi and Trump right now. We got Tom and Jerry going on. The State of the Union was basically shut down, and now her overseas flight using one of the U.S. jets there, the government jets, is shut down. So it's going back and forth. Just please pray, if you're listening, pray that our government leaders, we need to pray for them anyway, but the leaders would have wisdom, and that we would go through, because there are people out there who are being, you know, basically they're not getting paid to work.
Right.
And they, you know, they want to work. And so just pray for good sense, and pride would be let down on all accounts, both sides, and that we would work through this thing.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. It brings me up short as a reminder that we are called to pray for our leaders no matter what's going on, if it's an average day or something kind of crazy like this is happening. And it shouldn't take something crazy like this happening to remind me to pray for our leaders. So it's a good reminder.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just looking through some different articles and stuff, and I don't know if you picked up on this or heard about this, Dave. Over in Israel, which is near and dear to my heart, at a museum.
You're trying to make it near and dear to mine.
Yeah,
as well.
I want you to go. By the way, that reminds me, January the 17th through the 26th, 2020, we will be taking a group. Would love for you to go. For more information, just send an email to ask@swatradio.com. Just put Israel in the subject line, and we'll try to get you some info about that. Hey, I just got another message that the stream is not working today, Steve. All right. So we got somebody working on it to let you guys know who are in the airwaves. Of course, you don't need to know because you're listening over the airwaves through local radio. But over in Israel, there's a sculpture in a museum depicting Ronald McDonald, the clown, as McJesus. This clown image of Ronald McDonald is crucified on a wooden cross, and it's part of an exhibition called Sacred Goods, which is intended to highlight ways our faith is dominated by consumer culture. I mean,
incredible.
That's, you know, they wouldn't allow that with other people. You know, by the way, Steve, I just got a text that says people in the car and listening to the radio. So the radio is working good. It's just our stream. So we are trying to work on that. Hopefully we'll get that up soon. But, you know, Christians over in Israel have been demonstrating in front of the Haifa Museum of Art and demanding that they remove it. And in response, the museum posted signs warning that it contains content that some might find disturbing. Could you ever imagine for a second they made Muhammad a Muhammad out of Ronald McDonald?
Well, you remember from a few years back the hubbub over various political style cartoons or newspaper cartoons that depicted Muhammad in an unflattering way, and the uproar that came about because of that, and certainly the author there, Rushdie, a number of years ago.
Yeah,
you know, all the attention that drew and the ire that drew. So to your point, no, I can't imagine what would happen if that had been a depiction of Muhammad.
Well, I looked at that and I just thought, you know, why is it that people are allowed to make fun of Jesus but not other religious figures? It's been that way since the beginning, and that's because the world system is dominated by the enemy.
Right.
He controls that. Right. And now it's limited control.
Right.
But, you know, God's people, they don't like that. Right. I don't like it. I know you don't like it.
He doesn't mind attacks on things that aren't true. He you know, an attack on something that's not true, you know, he's trying to promote things that aren't true. He's the father of lies. And so there aren't attacks on things, or there are attacks, I should say, on things that aren't true, but things that are true, like the truth of the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is, are perfectly fine in the world's eyes to attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, I was reading this one article today that said that they've done these studies that show that only 30 to 50% of the people that you consider to be close friends feel the same way about you. So that means one third to only half. So half the people that you think are friends really aren't your friends. And the reason that's important is research has tied in strong social relationships to living longer. Mm. In fact, what they say is that anxiety is correlated to systematic inflammation in the body, which can lead to cardiovascular disease and poor overall health. And so when you have this anxiety because you're not liked, you know, it can affect you physically. And that contributes to this problem that we're afraid to tell people who we really are a lot of times because we're afraid they won't like us, right?
Right.
I mean, don't you think that's an issue in our culture?
Absolutely.
And that's the thing about Jesus. You know, God knows us for who we are, and he loves us for who we are.
Right.
He knows everything about us, and he loves us. And, you know, as believers, we should be able to love people and trust that God's changing them. Listen, we don't have to love when they do mean things. I'm not talking about that. But you know what? We appreciate that God did not make everybody like me.
Mm. Also, the importance of understanding that our value is in children and part of God and part of his family.
Yeah,
that's where our real value comes from.
That's right.
And I think of that verse that talks about, I guess in Revelation, right, where we're given a white stone with a name known only to us and to God. I mean, and just the thought of that almost gives me goosebumps, right? That's where our value is.
Well, hey, we're going to be right back. Join us at SWAT Radio. Go to SWATradio.com. We should have the stream up shortly. Thank you.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
It's funny, Doug, that we're coming back with I went to the danger zone from Top Gun. My sister and her family just got their first dog, and it's a cute little cockapoo, and they named him Maverick. And so my sister sent me the other day a slow motion video of the dog, this little cockapoo chasing a ball with I went to the danger zone in the background because his name is Maverick. So a kick out of that.
That's a Maverick.
He's anything but a Top Gun, let me tell you.
Isn't that funny? One of the things that we were talking about was being known and knowing people, and the whole idea of us as believers is we've been loved by God, so we are to love others. And sometimes people are afraid to share with us who they are because they're afraid we won't love them. We should love people unconditionally. Because that's how he says, a new commandment I give to you. You go love like I've loved. It doesn't mean we approve of what they do. It doesn't mean we like the way they behave. But we show them love. Sometimes loving people means speaking truth to them that's hard to say and nobody else will say that. That's real love, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, who's going to tell you got egg on your face after you've been eating breakfast? You know, right. Somebody who loves you who goes, hey, some people would just sit there and let you do it all day long, would talk with you, have broccoli in your teeth or whatever.
Right.
And so.
And I think that, you know, as we grow as believers and as we understand the truth of the gospel and the Holy Spirit teaches us, we come to understand the condition we were in when God set his love on us and how unlovable. I know how unlovable I am. We know ourselves better than anybody else, right, except for God. And I know how unlovable I am, and yet he's loved me, right? While we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. And so that should be inspiration to us and motivation for us to love others. And like you said, tell them the truth. Go back to the truth topic from earlier. Tell them the truth. It's the old adage, right? If you had a cure for cancer... and you knew somebody that had it, would you withhold that from them?
That wouldn't be very loving.
No, and this is far more important than that.
Well, Dave, you know, we had a great SWAT meeting this morning down in Mandarin. And by the way, welcome all you SWAT streaming people, because I was told we just got it back up and running. So if you're getting out of your car, you now can stream us through the app and also through the website. Thank you for those people that pointed that out, by the way. We had a great meeting this morning down in Mandarin, and last night we've had almost double the number of people on the Wednesday night that came, which was awesome. And this morning we had a good group of almost 20 down at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food. By the way, Jumpin' Jack's House of Food has a location at Atlantic, right, out at the beach now. Best burgers in town. I love them. This is not advertising. They just have good burgers.
They do.
We enjoy them. So
I haven't been to the new location yet, but the one in Mandarin Rod Cherry and I go there often, and it's a great spot.
Yeah, they got one out at it's that turn off to go to Mayport. It's right after that. You go into a shopping center. There's a Panera Bread in there, but it's Jumpin' Jack's House of Food out at off Atlantic Boulevard. Is that called? It's Atlantic Beach. It's not Neptune. It's Atlantic.
Atlantic Beach. Right?
Yeah. Hey, one of the guys this morning that came was a guy named Bob, who is from Mandarin Presbyterian Church, and he is kind of a point man for this conference coming to Jacksonville in March called Iron Sharpens Iron, which is a men's one-day equipping conference. They have 16 different seminars for the guys there, 3 keynote speakers, starts at 8:30, goes to 4:55. I have been a keynote at 9 of these around the country, everywhere from San Francisco to Philadelphia to Omaha, Nebraska. And they are really, really good conferences. I'm going to really encourage our SWAT guys to go, but you can go too. If you have a church or you have a men's group at your church, this would really be a great thing. The guys who are the keynotes this year is Brian Doyle, who is the founder of Iron Sharpens Iron. He used to be a Promise Keeper guy, and now he's doing the Iron Sharpens Iron. And Jim Ramos, who has a podcast called The Man Card. And then Ken Bevel. You may not know Ken Bevel, but he was in the movie Fireproof and Courageous. He's from Sherwood Baptist Church up in Georgia. And so they are the main keynotes, but there are a lot of good breakouts. A guy from All Pro Dad out of Tampa, Florida. 20 Things Wives Hate Hearing Their Husbands Say. Okay, we could really use that, right? Bob Shallow, who's right here in Jacksonville, Career Success with No Compromise. Jay Payleitner is out of Chicago, 26 Things Kids Need from Their Dad. So some really good breakout sessions here. And I think you really enjoy it. Rex Tigner, who is Man Up Ministries out of Richmond, Virginia, doing Tune Up for Dads. So really good stuff. Iron Sharpens Iron 2019 on March 2nd. And would love for you to join us. For more information, you can go to ironsharpensiron.net and just click on conferences, click on Jacksonville on the map, and it'll give you more information and you can register. And so I just wanted to bring that out and also remind our listeners that SWAT's men's ministry is built on 2 primary Bible verses, really 3, to be honest with you. 2 Timothy 2:2, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to others, faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's the first one. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not of this flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. The war we are in is a spiritual war. Sometimes we get deluded or distracted into believing that my enemy's my spouse or my children or my employer, some friend. The enemy manipulates people in situations to try to divide.
Right.
And we need to be aware of that. And then the last verse is iron sharpens iron. You know, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And we want to be sharpeners. You cannot experience spiritual growth apart from community and relationship. And I told the guys that this morning. And so our SWAT groups, we meet 5 locations around Jacksonville. And we've even got guys who are starting SWAT groups in other parts of the country. And if you want to start a SWAT group in your particular area or church, call me. Or actually, just send me an email at doug@swatradio.com. I'm happy to help you with that because we're about building communities of men who are going to be warriors for Christ. And Dave, you've been a part of it for a long time.
Right.
You've participated not only from the point of being there weekly, you've gone on a mission trip with us. And you see, you've been into the retreats, you've seen the comprehensive strategy of all of it. The last thing remaining for you is to go to Israel with us. And we're working on that. But what would you say to a guy out there, since I've got you on here for you haven't been here in a while, to the guy out there who's not connected to a group, mm-hmm. who's just, he goes to church, but he's really not a part of a regular meeting group of guys around the Word of God.
Yeah. And I've been that guy. I've been that guy plenty of times in my life. And you mentioned how the enemy deludes our thinking, gets us to think the wrong things. And I have described the way that I've thought before when I'm not connected to a community as dark. My thinking gets dark. I get selfish. And so being part of the SWAT community and some others for me has been a way to be accountable. It's been a way to be friends.
Ooh, wait, isn't accountable kind of a scary thing?
It is. Yeah, I don't like it either. I'm not saying I like it, but I know it's right and I know it's important.
Was it hard for you to be accountable to somebody?
It was initially, but I think once you start doing it and you see the benefit of it and you see the obedience of it, God blesses it, and I think it becomes easier.
Let me ask you a question, because you were an athlete, right? You played baseball.
And basketball.
And basketball, yep. And it applies in both. Were you accountable in those sports?
Absolutely.
And who were you accountable to?
My teammates and my coach.
And your coach, yep. Right?
Absolutely.
So there was both an accountability to the one who had oversight over everything,
right.
But there was also an accountability to your peers, right?
Right, absolutely.
Because they helped you because it was a team thing, right?
And I think part of what you're getting at is a big part of being accountable is, of course, I need it for myself, but I can help others. You know, I've been through a lot of crap in my life and have a
can
lot of
can we say
experience.
That on air? All right, I just got a thumbs
we
up.
We on a delay. Yeah.
This is a Christian program.
Yeah. You told your Russian bathroom story.
No, I know. He heard that. That was pretty bad.
But my point is that, you know, you were talking yesterday about we are here to be servants of Christ. And part of being accountable is, of course, to be accountable to him. And as I'm being accountable to another believer, hopefully I can help them and I can share my experiences. And I think as we do that together, and that's part of what happens in SWAT, is I learn things from guys in SWAT all the time, whether it was on the mission trip, whether it was just doing things one-on-one with guys that I've met there.
Or even walking out in the parking lot,
absolutely.
Having a conversation
absolutely.
That spawns from what we taught that
right.
week, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's my point. We don't mind accountability in other areas of life, and I just wonder why sometimes in the most important area of our life, our spiritual life, we get really kind of hinky about accountability.
Yeah. I don't think we want to let others, to your point earlier, I think we think, and I know I've thought this, that other people won't love us if they know the real us.
Mm.
And part of being accountable is opening up and letting people into some areas that sometimes are tough to let people into. And I think when we do that with genuine believers who understand what they've been forgiven for and understand what God has died for them, you know, I'm getting my wording a little messed
no, that's
up here,
okay.
but,
no,
but
that's...
when we understand that, then when somebody tells us something that might be shocking to a non-believer, I think we can look at it and say, well, I understand, and help them through it as opposed to bashing them over the head with it.
Well, I don't think there can be anything more shocking than somebody who actually killed Christians, and Paul did that,
mm-hmm.
and God redeemed him.
Yeah.
And changed him. And the whole thing is we're all flawed. So if you're out there and you think you're not flawed, you're flawed for thinking you're not flawed.
Right.
So we're all in the same basket. We all need Jesus and we all need each other. You will not grow apart from community. And when we come back, we're going to jump back into Matthew 19 and look today at the crown/reward of saving faith, because, I think it's important for us to understand that saving faith, the character we talked about being like a child, like childlike faith, and then recognizing our need. The rich young ruler didn't recognize the need. And then we talked about the confirmation yesterday about how our repentance really is a demonstration of that faith being a real part of our life. Well, there's a crown for that faith, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. So if you want to call in, Dave, tell them the number.
Yeah, the number, 904-401-1413.
And we'll be right back on SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is making his case for a stronger missile defense system.
In a time of rapidly evolving threats, we must be certain that our defensive capabilities are unrivaled and unmatched anywhere in the world.
And the president today at the Pentagon said keeping up with the latest technological developments is a key goal.
It's new technology. It's ultimately going to be a very, very big part of our defense and obviously of our offense.
Security analyst Brandon Weikert says the president's right to be concerned about emerging threats from adversaries, including China.
He's 100% correct that we have to do more. We haven't been paying attention. We've basically let our abilities wither on the vine, and our enemies know that, and they're taking advantage of the low-hanging fruit that we've provided them.
Weikert says there's also growing bipartisan recognition on Capitol Hill about the need to develop some kind of space force to advance and protect U.S. interests in space and even on the moon. President Trump says he's canceling House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's official trip abroad because of the partial government shutdown. More on that from White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
In a White House letter, the president informs Pelosi that her upcoming foreign trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed. He says the move is totally appropriate because 800,000 federal workers are not being paid during the shutdown. The president seems to suggest that he's going to deny a military aircraft for the speaker's trip, saying instead that she fly commercially if she still intends to travel. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Morgan Stanley says its fourth quarter profit totaled $1.53 billion. That's more than double from the year-ago quarter. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up by 105 points, and NASDAQ up about 40 with the S&P 500 up 14. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Major delays on the north side because of a crash on I-95 northbound at the exit at Lem Turner Road. Two left lanes are blocked there. In the southbound direction, two left lanes blocked because of emergency vehicles. Also, I-95 northbound, another crash at the exit at the MLK 20th Street Parkway. Be careful. Sunshine this afternoon, becoming partly cloudy tonight. Low 44. Friday, mostly sunny. High 71.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say, carry on my wayward son.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. I'm David Gray, sitting in for Brad Sykes today. Joked about Brad not being here earlier, but certainly big shoes to fill, and I appreciate you guys having me today. And, you know, you weren't kidding when you talked about these lead-in songs all being from the 70s.
Yeah, they
were.
You
guys really are from the 70s, as am I, by the way.
Yeah, Carry On My Wayward Son, right? That was, I always liked that song. But
great song.
Anyway, are we wayward sons sometimes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You notice absolutely. Every song has some kind of little thing to jog us about our spiritual life. They're not spiritual songs. They're not written. But you know what? Music is a spiritual thing. Most of the songwriters that write, they write because they're wrestling with something, an emotion. They're wrestling with a desire or something. And so they just put it down into a song. And, you know, we can be wayward sons. And, you know, when I think about, I don't want to be a wayward son.
No. Our friend Jack Turpin, the late, great Jack Turpin.
Who, Jesus.
Absolutely. I remember Jack saying to me before, you know, sometimes the Christian life is a series of us walking away from God and God pulling us back, speaking of wayward sons. And hopefully as we grow in the faith and our walks become less frequent and shorter. But I thought that was a good way of putting it. And Jack had so many Turpinisms.
He did. Jack was a good brother. You know, he was on my board. I really loved being around Jack, and I miss him, you know, but I'll see him again. we'll see him again. Right. And, you know, we need to pray for the family, the Carrier family. My brother Ross and our brother, he's a SWAT brother, is, you know, he's been battling cancer for quite a while. And so if you're out there, would you just lift up that family, the Carrier family? They're a sweet family, and they're, you know, their dad, Ross, is a good SWAT brother. He's been part of our SWAT group at the beach for a long time, and he's been battling this cancer, and he has been a faithful servant as he's battled it, and has glorified God through the process. Mm-hmm. And just remember that whole family today, and pray for them if you get a chance to remember them, and just thankful for him and his friendship. He's a great encouragement to me in ministry, and you are too, Dave. And that's what I love about our relationships. It's not just about going to a Bible study and hearing somebody teach the Bible. It's about relationships in a community, and you guys have made it that. And so we remember our brother today. We are in Matthew 19, and we've been talking about the issue of what is saving faith, the key to saving faith. And, you know, we talked about the character on Monday being a childlikeness in us, this dependence. It's not something. Can you make yourself humble?
No.
You can only act humbly, right?
Right.
I think humility is a realization of who we really are and who God really is. Mm. And so if we struggle to be humble, we need to ask God, God, show me who you are and show me who I am.
Right.
And trust me, that'll bring about some humility if you really get a picture of who he is. Well, the conviction of saving faith is shown in the story of the rich young ruler. He wants to know how to get to heaven. And Jesus tells him, he says, hey, you have to keep the commandments. Do that. And the guy goes, I've done all those, which one, he, there's no way he did all that. He might have thought he did it, but we have the same attitude of I'm not that bad. And Jesus said, well, then if you want to be perfect, which was the requirement for getting into heaven, right?
Right.
To be perfect. He said, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And the guy went away grieved. He couldn't do it. Now, what strikes me, David, is Jesus answered his question. And if getting into heaven was the most important thing in that guy's life, he probably would have done it, right? Because you do what's important to you.
Correct.
But there was something more important to heaven than him, more important than that relationship with the Father to him, and it was his money.
Right.
And Jesus surfaced that.
What I mentioned earlier, I think that's what the truth of Scripture does for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It changes our thinking.
Yeah.
To going from being incorrect thinking or dark thinking or self-centered thinking to a truth-based thinking. And that, you know, certainly in my life there have been times when the realization of what the alternative to being a child of God is and what the alternative to being a servant of Christ is has hit me pretty hard. And it's a terrifying thought. You know, I've talked with others before and in classes before, but there's only going to be two reactions when Jesus comes back, right?
Yep.
Absolutely overjoyed and ecstatic. Or absolutely terrified.
Mm.
There's no in between. So, yeah. And I believe me, I'm preaching that to myself as much as anybody else.
Yeah, me, I don't want to be terrified. Right. I want to be ecstatic. Right. I want to be ecstatic when I pass from this life to the next. When I see, I want to see him. I want to see him. You know. Well, this rich young ruler not only didn't recognize his need, but there was no repentance there. And what that means is a turning. We talked about that at length yesterday, so I'm not going to go all the way through it. But now, you know who's watching all this transpire is the disciples. They're listening to the conversation. They're watching the conversation. And what I'd like you to do is pick it up in, let's say, verse 23. And I know some of that we covered yesterday, but start in verse 23, because Jesus said to his disciples, you know, truly I say to you, go ahead and read that all the way through the end of the chapter.
Sure. So Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, that the renewal of all things when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first.
Wow. So we're looking today at the crown / reward of saving faith. That faith that is true faith in the living God, that faith that says, I know I need a Savior, that faith that says, I don't want to keep going the way of the world. I don't want to follow my leadership. I want to trust in Jesus and his leadership. That faith that says that, he says, will inherit eternal life. Life eternally is the goal. And life eternally does not simply mean not going to hell. It means that you are engaged in community with the living God forever and ever and ever and ever. And I really believe, you know, nobody really knows for sure exactly how everything's going to look. Some of the language is symbolic. You know, we hear about streets of gold, mansions in the sky. You know, it really doesn't talk about mansions. It talks about rooms in John 14. And what he's talking about there is the idea of Christ and his bride, the church, is this. He uses a lot of the Jewish analogies of a wedding. And when a young man wants to marry a woman, what they do is that young man goes to his father and tells him, and the father negotiates the bride price, and then the son begins working on a room around the outer courtyard of where the father lives. And when the father says, okay, that room's ready, then they consummate the marriage and they do it. And so when he says, in my mansion is many rooms, he's saying, there's lots of room for people there. And the crown and reward of saving faith is simply this. It is eternal life. Is there a greater gift? Is there a greater thing that you would desire than that? The only way, Dave, I think you could desire anything different than that is you truly don't understand what that is.
Right. Right. And I've heard all the kind of tongue-in-cheek stories that pastors like to make about, you know, sometimes we think of eternal life and heaven as being a 24-hour, never-ending, I shouldn't say 24-hour when I'm talking about eternal, but a never-ending worship service, right? And kids love to hear that, don't they?
Yeah.
But that it's not that. It's going to be a never-ending relationship with God, a never-ending time in his presence. And I've actually talked to people, and I've probably been guilty of it too, of people who think that, oh, well, that heaven maybe sounds a little boring.
Well, you know? Yeah.
And think about all the good things we have in this life that we love and we know are gifts from God.
Almost like we're going to float on a cloud or something, you know, and be singing this chorus.
Right.
You know?
Would the creator of the universe, would the saver of our souls and the lover of our souls prepare a place for us that would ever be boring or, it's just impossible. The imagination of God is incredible.
Well, that's like even Jesus, and I know we got to go to a break, but even Jesus, if Jesus was here, he would be the life of the party. He would not be a boring individual.
Absolutely.
There would be an attraction. People would be crowding around him, wanting to spend time with him, going, I want to be with that guy.
And good wine.
The only people that would not want to be around him would be people who aren't his. Right. So, hey, we'll be right back on SWAT Radio, 904-401-1413 with any questions.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. David Gray and Doug McCary, 904-401-1413, if you want to call us with any questions or comments.
You know, Dave, I was looking at this passage that you read today from Matthew 19, and specifically when Peter says, we've left everything and follow you, what then will we have? And we're going to get into this next week. We're going to talk about our motivation for service. Why do we serve him? Why do we serve Jesus? First of all, we got to ask the question, do we serve him? I mean, most of the time when we wake up in the morning, are we thinking, okay, today's I'm serving him.
Right.
It's his day. It's not my day. I work for him. There's a radio program on after I was called, I Work for Him. We really do serve him. As believers, we're supposed to. And next week, we're going to explore the motivation for why we serve him. Because I heard pastors teach on rewards, and we should be shooting for those rewards. And it's true. In fact, Jim Elliot, we use the quote I shared this last week, says, he's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. But he's saying that's not the motivation. He's just saying it's a foolish person who would spend all their efforts to try to keep something they can't, sacrificing what they could get that they would never lose.
Right.
I mean, everything we see, every home, every business, every bank account, every possession is going to go away. It's interesting to me to drive by salvage yards and see those cars out there that once were sparkly new showroom quality cars, but now they're sitting in a junkyard. 30, 40 years ago, they weren't junk, but now they're just junk, right?
Right.
The second law of thermonuclear dynamics says what? It says everything is deteriorating.
I'm glad you asked that hypothetically answered it. I thought you were counting on me for that answer.
No. Basically everything is deteriorating.
Absolutely.
And so we look around and we forget that sometimes. But what Jesus says is, guys, you have eternal life. And everyone, not just you, but everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. In other words, it's not just eternal life. There is going to be rewards on top of that, but that's not our motivation. And Jesus is going to tell a story next week. But, you know, I think of some of the great saints of old, Joseph. You know, as Joseph was languishing in prison, he had a dream about being the one in charge, but he was in prison suffering. He was living in prison. His brothers were at home, and he didn't know what God knew. And God was taking him through a pathway of suffering to prepare him to be humble. Because was he humble at first?
No.
He wasn't, right? Why do you think his brothers were so angry with him?
I'm sure he was a pain in the neck in a lot of ways. And, of course, he was his father's favorite, and he knew it.
He knew it, and he was – sometimes we can rub it in.
Right.
And he was doing that, and his brothers hated him for it. But God didn't disqualify him forever. He just trained him. And he took him through the training of pain and suffering. You know, I find in my own life that I learn a lot more through pain and suffering than I do through success a lot of times.
Sure. Me too.
Don't forget those lessons, right? Nope. And so anyway, this crown of saving faith is the ultimate crown for us is eternal life. We're in the family. And when he says the last will be first and the first last, we're going to explore more next week. But he's saying we're all equal.
Mm.
I mean, and you guys are worried about what you're going to get because you said you've done this. See, they were clamoring. These disciples were clamoring to be numero uno next to Jesus, right? They wanted to be, they were saying, hey, I'm the best. I'm going to be the one who's going to get the position of influence. James and John, we're going to see their mother comes later and says, hey, can my kids sit at your right hand and left hand? I mean, think about the audacity of that for a second. It's too hard to condemn them because we would be wanting to do the same thing, right? If Jesus was here, it's like, imagine, have you ever been in the presence of somebody who is well-known or somebody who's very popular and you want to be right there with
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely.
And you want them connected. To acknowledge you. You want them to say you're important to them. That's all they were wanting, right? Right.
Part of the inner circle, right.
And what Jesus is saying is, you are important. You have eternal life. Think about the gift that he's given us, eternal life. And I really believe, Dave, that one of the biggest issues for us as believers is we do not value that he has redeemed us from the wrath of God.
Mm. Yeah. And he did it in a period of 3 hours on the cross, taking God's wrath. I've thought about that before and just can't imagine what it was like to take God's wrath in a period of 3 hours for all believers for all time. I want to think that as bad as the physical suffering was when he was in Gethsemane, the agony was mostly over what was coming there.
Oh, it was. I absolutely believe it was. See, I think we dismissed that because we didn't see a tangible display of that. In other words, there was a tangible display. I mean, when you stop and think about it, think about his body being ravaged so bad that he was unrecognizable. Think about the blows to the back with a cat of nine tails.
Unbelievable.
Can't imagine it. Think about all that he was scourged. That was a very painful thing. Then to drag that cross through the streets and to the point of collapse. Then to be nailed to it. The most cruel death that you could ever imagine. He's on a cross hanging.
Yep.
And not only that, the worst part was his father had to look away.
Yep.
They were separate.
Yep.
The father had not been separated from him until that time.
And somehow pour out wrath,
yeah,
which I don't understand. I don't think I'll ever understand that. But that it wasn't just that separation, but it was the pouring out of wrath on Jesus, that he became sin and was punished as such.
Yeah, I want you to imagine something so heinous, something so vile, and that it just makes your blood boil. And it's a righteous blood boil because you're watching something that should not happen to somebody. And I want you to multiply that times millions throughout time. Every sinful act, every sinful thought was paid for that day on the cross. And you know, if you're listening out there and you have never fully appreciated what he did for you, you've never acknowledged that to him, today might be the day to start doing that and to acknowledge, one, unlike the rich young ruler, you have a need. God, I need you. I'm messed up. I need you in my life. I know I'm flawed, and I know I make mistakes, and I know I've broken your law, and I know because of that, your word says that I deserve eternal death. But, like Dave shared earlier from Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us, and we can be forgiven for the wages of sin and of death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And today can be the day that you embrace that and you say, yes, I want to turn. I want to him to change the direction of my life, and I want to appreciate what he's done. I want to receive it, and I want the reward of eternal life. You can do that right where you are. No special prayer. The thief on the cross just said, hey, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
This is a poor analogy in that it doesn't do justice to what God did, but I like it anyway because it helps us understand. We've all heard of a governor or an official pardoning a criminal, right? Mm-hmm. And the criminal goes free and his sins, if you will, are forgiven. But how many of those governors then invite the criminal to become part of their family, adopt the criminal and bring him into their house to live with them as part of their family? And that's what God's done for us.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. He's offered us something, one, none of us deserve.
Right.
And again, he says the last will be first and the first last.
And I have the advantage of having been at SWAT yesterday, yeah. So I know. And I just want to say, without giving away what you're going to teach on next week, that I'm glad that you explained that, and you just touched on it here, that it means that we're all equal. Mm-hmm. And I think going back to what we were talking about earlier, that's where we have to start in order to have the humility that you were talking about and that we know we need. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And our ability to love others, no matter what their condition, comes from that biblical understanding that we're all in the same boat.
We are.
And that's why I'm glad you explained that, because I think there is a lot of misunderstanding about Jesus saying the last will be first and the first will be last. So tune in next week for more clarification on that.
Yeah, hey, we only have a couple of minutes. We got a caller real quick. Welcome to SWAT Radio.
Hey, Doug.
Hey.
I was going to comment on the talk about heaven that you guys was talking about.
Yeah, we got about 1 minute, so you got to be quick, okay?
Okay. I think heaven is going to be a lot more than what we can imagine here on earth. We just have a glimpse of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right, and this is our brother Lacey. Lacey, real quick, because we got 1 minute. You came to a SWAT meeting for the first time the other night. What'd you think?
I thought it was outstanding.
Well, I'm so glad you came, and I think you're right. We don't have a real understanding. We just get a glimpse, and it's Paul says we see dimly. You know, then we will see clearly. And we're praying for you, brother. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling. Listen to Mark because we're going to have a good guest. Okay.
All right, I will.
Thanks, Lacey.
All right, thanks you so much. Hey, Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Loved it, Doug. Thank you.
And tomorrow, tune in, listen to Tommy. You'll be blessed, okay? Hey, for more information on SWAT Radio, go to SWATradio.com. That's www.SWATradio.com. You can send questions to ask@SWATradio.com, at Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk, and Twitter at SWAT Radio Talk. This is Doug McCary and David Gray in for Brad Sykes. Have a great day, and we'll be back tomorrow with Tom Nelson from Denton Bible Church.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WA.